Hello, this is Blima Burchett, and you are listening to The Aparo Effect, where we talk about all things related to increasing the capacity of nonprofits in Charlotte. I am here today with one guest today. Christina, I will let you introduce yourself.
Hi, I am Christina Dooley, and I am librarian with Charlotte Mecklenburg Library. I lead the nonprofit team. So I've done that for approximately 4 years. I've been a member of the team for five. I do have a nonprofit management certificate from Wake Forest University, and got that a few years ago. And we're made up of a team of seven, and there's team members at each regional, and I am at University City.
Great. And so you have a team of seven. Do you have a specific area of focus?
Well, you typically focus on small and emerging nonprofits, but we also have an incredible database from Candid, which is called Foundation Directory Online, and it allows you to search for foundations, private foundations, and search grants that they have funded and that are very similar to subject areas that that you are looking for funding. And you can also look for other nonprofits that have received funding in the same area, similar areas, and see who have funded them in the past.
So nonprofits come to you to use those tools.
Yes, so that database is only available in the library. So we have classes online that we do teach on how to search. They do have a bit of a taxonomy that they like to go by, so it can get a little frustrating because you kind of have to do several searches, because if you're looking for something, you may think that you're in a health related nonprofit, your programs are health related, but when you think about it, they're really educating a certain population, then you can actually search different ways for that. So you can, by doing three different searches, you're going to get different foundations. And then from there, you'll do a little bit more research and you kind of find out which foundation is really the best match for you.
Okay, perfect. So you're saying it's a little tricky, but they come, they learn, and you fit it, and they learn those tricks so that they can navigate it more smoothly. So that's neat.
Yes.
And but so you're saying they have to use it physically in person in the library. So what happened during that time of earlier in the pandemic when the library was physically closed?
Oh, I am so glad you asked. So Candid, well, Candid is very dedicated to serving nonprofits. And we are what they call a foundation information network partner. So we provide services to nonprofit organizations and the social sector that Candid has available. So because people couldn't actually come into the library, what they did was they offered remote access to a tier level of Foundation Directory Online, and it was called Foundation Directory Essential. I'm sorry, Foundation Directory Online Essential. And that did allow you to search for foundations based on subject and population and region, geographic location. It just did not give you the grant information, and it didn't give you who received the grant. But that's okay because it still gave you access to 990s, the 990 PFs. So if you really wanted to know who they were giving to, then you just looked in the digitized 990 PF.
Okay, so it's a little bit more complicated, but you could still get all the information you needed. So does that still exist as a virtual option?
Yes, so that still exists until the end of May. So far, they were going to cut it off in March, and we weren't too happy about that. So they did extend it to May. They did change access, though. You can access it through the library's resource page. And when you log in, you have to get a pass. They call it a day pass, and it's for 24 hours every 30 days. But you get to create your own account. So when you go back in, all your research and is able to be saved. So you can go right back where you were.
Nice. You know, one of the things we talk about at Aparo lately a lot within ourselves and with our nonprofit partners is how some things that, you know, were developed because of the pandemic just make sense to maintain. Like, it seems to me that maybe this just makes sense to maintain, right? It gives access to folks who just physically can't get there or who want to work on it, you know, at hours that library isn't open or things mm-hmm. like that. Is that the reason why, when you were saying they wanted to shut it down in March, you were resistant?
Well, we were resistant because in October, they told us that they were extending it through 2022. And so then in March, they said that they were not, they were going to stop access to in March of 2022. So,
do you think there's a possibility that they'll extend it further? I mean, why not? Is there a downside?
They're losing money as they look at it, because FTO Essential is typically, it is subscription based. It's a lower tier of Foundation Directory Online Professional. Mm-hmm. They do have, typically if you get a full access of FTO Professional, I believe it could run $300 a month, up to $300 a month. And we offer it for free. Foundation Directory Online Essential, I believe, can run you $50 to $100 a month. So it is more economical, mm-hmm. especially to get that access at home. So you can actually do some research on foundations, and then you can bring that into the library. You know, your search results, you just can't open up your account while you're in the library through Foundation Directory Online Professional, because it's the Charlotte Mecklenburg Library account, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. And both of these versions are offered for free to any, do you have to be a 501c3 nonprofit in Mecklenburg County or?
No, you don't have to be a 501c3 in Mecklenburg County. That's one thing that we do is we offer access to it to anybody in the surrounding counties or really anyone that walks through the doors. If you don't have a library card, if you live in Mecklenburg County, we would like you to have a library card. Everybody that lives in Mecklenburg County should have a library card. It's free. But if you do not live in Mecklenburg County, just ask for a guest pass and that'll get you on the library computers. It used to be you could access it on your laptop over Wi-Fi, but we changed the Wi-Fi and it actually is better Wi-Fi, but it's now a truly public network. And so you can't access FDO through the Wi-Fi, unfortunately.
When you're physically in the library.
Yes.
Right. But you still do through May have the option for the Essentials version from home.
Remotely. Yeah.
Remotely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. From mm-hmm. home, from your office. Exactly. All right. So if a nonprofit is interested in learning more, getting started, they can come see you in the library. Where can they learn more online?
If you go to cmlibrary.org, you scroll down to the bottom of the page and there's the first column, it says nonprofit. Just click that and it'll take you to the nonprofit page. There's also a link to sign up for our newsletter. Try and get a newsletter out once a month. We have regular programs every Friday. We have Fridays with Rocky, not every Friday. Typically the last Friday of the month. Rocky is a nonprofit lawyer and he was a professor at Charlotte School of Law. And his passion is economic development and opportunity. And so we have a lot of wonderful community guests, and we've covered things from public art and to the 2040 plan. And so we always have community members, mostly nonprofit guests, people that run nonprofits. This coming Friday, we have Ken Shore. He's coming on February 4th. So that should be really good because he's retiring in March. So, and he's going to be talking about kind of the current stage of youth services, legal youth services, and how children are getting served. So in the court systems, and so and where that's heading. So, and then we do classes.
Very interesting. And sorry, I'll interrupt you quickly. If someone, if you just really intrigued someone, but they're listening to this podcast after that date has passed, is there a way they could hear a recording?
Yes. So those recordings are on our YouTube channel. So it's just Charlotte Mecklenburg Library, and it'll take you to our YouTube channel. And we actually, if you type in nonprofit, you'll see our playlist, and we have some really great videos. We had a series last year, and we had some wonderful speakers talking about different topics, including some people from Foundation for the Carolinas. And so there's some really great videos on there as well.
Fantastic. So I interrupted you. You were talking about another resource.
Yes. So every Tuesday at 2 p.m., we do introductory classes. So yesterday we did introduction to basic fundraising planning. So that was, we had 17 people attend that. They're all virtual. Eventually some of the regional branches will host in person, but we'll always offer a virtual option. We do introduction to finding grants where we talk to people, about the grant process, not proposal process, but the grant process itself. Because I think a lot of people have a lot of misconceptions about applying for and receiving grants. A lot of people that just start nonprofits or are interested in starting nonprofits think that that's how you get started, is that you apply for grants and you get grants and that's your revenue is grants, and that's far from the truth. So we talk a lot about that. Then we do one where we teach how to search the database, introduction to proposal writing. We do introduction to program budgets. That's a great one. I enjoyed teaching that one. That's a new one for me. So, and then we do have some programs with special guests as well.
Nice. So such important fundamentals.
Wow. Yes.
And are those also all recorded and on the YouTube channel?
Those are not. We do record them and we'll send them out after the class if requested. But Candid has a YouTube channel and they have recorded classes there. Mm-hmm. And I usually refer people to those.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you for a very detailed overview of how nonprofits can get your support. And I'm happy to say, speaking of support, that you have worked with Aparo recently. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, so I was so excited to hear that Aparo offers, it's not called technology tutoring anymore. It's, you guys rebranded it after I applied.
It's coaching. Yeah. Coaching, so we made a small internal pivot. So our IT coaching sort of existed as its own entity and we folded it under our tech therapy entity, but from a nonprofit perspective, it really is just, it doesn't matter. We still offer technology coaching.
So, I guess as we still call it technology tutoring, because, you know, that is what we do. It really is more tutoring, but thinking about my sessions, they really were coaching. I think I was matched up with somebody very, he didn't have just technical knowledge of what I was needing, but he had the broader knowledge of what I needed. And so we worked together. And what I needed was, it's kind of well known internally that we are introduced to new technology and we have to kind of figure it out ourselves. So we saw this, little app on our computer for many, many months, and it was Teams. We didn't even know what it was called. We just kind of were like, what is that? And once the pandemic hit and we shut down, and then we found out that we were going to start going virtual, we started using Teams as our platform. And so we all kind of had to self-taught. And as the lead for the nonprofit team, I set up a nonprofit team site. And I felt like I was starting to lose control of my organization in it. You know, so I felt like I was going too deep, and I was, you know, and I didn't want to get too any deeper that I couldn't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So I reached out to Aparo, and they matched me with Kali, and he has just retired, so to say, and just wanted to be more in service with his life as a career. And so he volunteered to do coaching, and we worked together, and he really helped me understand how I wanted to look at channels and why I would want to put something in that channel, you know, and compared to other channels. So because, you know, there, I had some files and folders that could fit in a couple different channels. Mm-hmm. And so I probably had 6 channels, and we narrowed it down to 4. I think he kind of wanted me at 3, but I needed that. I call it a research. So anytime we come across articles, you know, that are good to read, or, you know, I just stick it in the research folder. So.
Yeah. Well, that's great that you realize, like, I sort of get this, I'm going down this road, but fundamentally, if you don't start off on the right foot, it can be a mess, and you realized it. So that's wonderful. So how's it going now with Teams?
Yeah. So it's going really good, really good. So, I felt very confident. And then, there's another, team in the library, and they have really, there's been a couple people that have worked on it, and it is a lot that they have done in their team site. And so I started kind of freaking out, you know, I'm like, well, they've done this, and that they're doing this, and we should do, you know. Mm-hmm. And so in our team meeting, just a week ago, my team members had to kind of talk me off a ledge. Oh. Because they kind of told me, you know, our team doesn't need, you know, the other team is really, really big, and they do a lot of different things. And so, they brought me right back to how I set it up with Kali, and they said, this is us, and this is good, and this is what we need to do. And so they talked me off that ledge. So it just, you know, it really made me feel a lot more confident, and it just kind of took a big burden off my shoulders. So, and it made me realize that, you know, what Kali and I came up with really was the best thing. So
good. That's great. You're feeling organized in there.
Yeah.
That's good. Has it changed some of your processes, made things a little smoother, saving you some time?
Going forward, yes. There's still some cleaning up that we need to do. I do have a team member that has started kind of going through some of the curriculum and cleaning up some of the files. When we first started, when the pandemic hit, we were keeping files of the recorded classes. So everybody that had a recorded, everyone that taught a class had their own folder for every class that they, and you know, we didn't need to hold on to those anymore. So those could be deleted. And so.
Great. So, all right. So you'll get there and I'll check in with you to ask you, are you saving a ton of time? What are you doing with all that?
Yeah. Well, my goal is, well, we'll talk about.
Well, I was going to, no, you go right ahead. I was going to say, like, it's, you know, it's early in the year. I was going to ask you about if there was a goal for 2022 that you wanted to share.
Yeah. So, our goal as a team, really is to have a retreat. Hopefully it won't be virtual. If it is, I'm going to make it as best as I can and order everybody lunch and have it delivered at their branch so we can at least, you know, sit together on Zoom and have lunch together. But I want us to sit together and finish our team site. You know, so each person, you know, we can use the post-its, you know, and because I can be on certain things, I'm visual. And so I think, you know, if each person has a channel, then they can look at what needs to go in there and we can talk about it and we all agree and it's done, you know, it's done. So, you know, I said, we may even make it a 2-day retreat and it'll be done. No more, you know, it's set. Because my goal is when somebody goes to teach a class, they don't need to call me and say, you know, what handouts, what other handouts go, do I need to send out? And do I need to attach it to the email or do I need to give it to them? You know, do I need to put it in the chat? You know, I said, I even want like an email template. You know, if you need an email to send out with the Zoom link, here it is. And everybody was kind of laughing at me, but I said, you know, if it's a new person, you know, that has joined the team, there's, you know, they can just look at that email template and they can use that the first couple times until they feel comfortable enough to come up with their own.
Yeah, that's important. Onboarding a new person or even someone who's been with you for a while, who's teaching something new for the first time or filling in for someone else and all that. And that ensures consistency, right? Yeah. And also will save you time if you're the one who they're asking all those questions of. So I get it. I see why that's important. And, you know, at the end, I'm sure your goals are around, your mission is around serving the nonprofits that you support, and it just leads to a better experience for them. So
yeah,
fantastic. Well, thank you so much for talking with me today. I really enjoyed our conversation. I was like catching up with you, and thank you to our audience.
Thank you.
Thanks and to everyone. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, if they need anything, we have a team email and it's nonprofit team, at cmlibrary.org. And the best way to reach me is email. We don't really have our own desks, so I don't have voicemail. So just email me at cdooley, D-O-O-L-E-Y, at cmlibrary.org.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you for being my guest today. And thank you to all of our listeners. And tune in for the next edition of The Aparo Effect.